And it's time to go to the movies now here on Breakfast with Jason DeRosso, host of Hub On Screen. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, friend.
A film about Neil Armstrong called First Man. Now, I feel like I've heard a lot about this already.
Yeah.
Does this feel like the first Best Picture Oscar contender?
It does to me. And I think that it feels like Oscar season is coming around early this year. Of course, last year it came around really early if you consider that Get Out was already an Oscar contender, but we didn't know at the time it came out and it was the beginning of the year. But certainly in terms of the big obvious contenders, yeah, I mean, it's only October. And this does feel like a Best Picture nominee at least. This is by Damien Chazelle. This is the follow-up to La La Land. He also directed Whiplash. And it is, as you said, the story of Neil Armstrong, played by Ryan Gosling. Well, the story of Neil Armstrong in the 60s, really, in the lead-up to the lunar landings. And it's a story of focus. It's a story of ambition. It's a story of teamwork to a degree. Neil and his colleagues testing various rockets, going up, going down, some of them not coming back. And essentially it's this story of, you know, very gripping drama about this mighty enterprise that was the United States trying to get to the moon, trying to beat the Soviets to the moon. And there's a little bit of drama back home as well with Claire Foy playing Neil Armstrong's wife. But I think it's quite an extraordinary film. It runs at about 2.5 hours. But as I said, quite gripping. I'm going to play you a little bit now from, I've chosen to play something from the trailer because I think it sort of gives a sense of the sort of overriding emotions and tone of the film.
Neil, if this flight is successful, you'll go down in history. What kind of thoughts do you have about that?
We're planning on the flight being successful.
The vehicle's not safe.
We need to fail down here so we don't fail up there.
This isn't just another trip, Neil. You're not just going to work.
Do you think you're coming back?
There are risks, but we have every intention of coming back.
Somebody got a Swiss Army knife?
A Swiss Army knife? Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's a blockbuster story, all right. The mission to the moon, Apollo 11.
But I love that Swiss Army knife bit because, you know, it makes you remember how lo-fi these things were. They were like tin cans. They were death traps at some points, you know, and on some missions they were literally death traps.
Come on, didn't we just have to put blue tack in a hole in the International Space Station the
other
week?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe nothing's changed.
The film has its critics, including the US President Donald Trump, critical for not showing the American flag being planted the moon.
And you'd think from that you're expecting some kind of retelling of history or some sort of anti-patriotic film or something kind of more sort of internationalist. It's not really. It's a very patriotic film, intensely patriotic. I think it's a small C conservative film in that it is very much about duty to the nation. It's about practice. It's about competency. It's about hierarchies that function. It's about an overwhelmingly white male cast. I mean, usually these days, it's kind of odd as a critic. You see this many white guys with buzz cuts on screen, and it's usually a film about the Klan or they're kind of bad guys in some way. Anyway, this is not about that. It's not a rewriting of history. It's not trying to put a new lens on history like Hidden Figures did with the space program, with the African-American women. But it's a very, very good film. As I said, highly patriotic, but kind of small C conservative in a way. And Ryan Gosling's interesting in it because he doesn't act a lot. He's very blank-faced. He plays Neil Armstrong as a softly spoken, very decent man who kind of bottles a lot in. So while the 60s are kind of happening around them and the bubble of the NASA space program, in a way they get to 69, they land on the moon, and it's if the 60s didn't happen for them. And so you get a sense that by the end of the film, the 60s are only just beginning for this group of people and people like them. Mm. But I think it's a wonderful film and a great tribute to this enterprise, and pretty exciting too.
Okay, and just briefly on Hub On Screen this week, you're speaking to the director of a doco about Vivian Westwood. It's the documentary that Vivian Westwood would prefer you didn't see.
I know, Lorna Tucker's made this documentary about Vivian Westwood, a kind of fly on the wall doco at times that really shows Vivian acting pretty shabbily. But look, it also shows her as being the phenomenal force of nature that she is, one of the few fashion designers over the last 30 years who didn't succumb to the corporate raids of the 90s and 2000s. But I speak to Lorna Tucker about, you know, why Vivian doesn't like the film. And the explanation there isn't particularly obvious, so it's quite a good listen. And also Jodie Whittaker's on the show. The new Doctor Who.
You're talking to Jodie Whittaker?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you see the first Doctor Who?
I did.
How was it?
Oh, it's good. You haven't seen it?
No,
yeah, it's good.
Seen
she's great. Okay. I think she's a really good Doctor Who. Speaking to Jodie Whittaker about that, what she hopes for the role, and Liz Dufresne, who's this rusted on Whovian from the University of Technology in Sydney, a media journalist, a media academic, who'll be talking about where she thinks the Doctor could head now.
Okay.
In this 13th
Jodie Whittaker's
incarnation.
A terrific actress, I reckon.
She
Jason,
is.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jason DeRosso. Sounds like you better not miss Hub on Screen. You can hear it this morning at 10 a.m. right here on RN, or of course, anytime on the ABC Listen app.